Welcome to The Lorraine Murphy Show. I'm an entrepreneur on my second business, a mentor, an author, wife to a fellow entrepreneur, and mother to a magical little girl. On my podcast, I explore topics that fascinate me that will help you unlock ideas to rise even higher in your life. Myself and my special guests will be talking entrepreneurship and how to build better businesses, organization and figuring out how to get more shit done quicker and smarter, staying in touch with our soul, and how to blend business babies with real babies. Let's jump in to this week's episode. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of The Lorraine Murphy Show. I am really, really excited about this particular episode because I think it will answer a lot of the questions that my listeners seem to have when I did the shout out for the business season Q&A that I did a few weeks ago. This week, I am focusing on how to build a remote support team, which is a hot topic, I believe. Before I jump into my intro to this episode, I just wanted to remind you that I am exploring a business accelerator right now with someone that I love working with in business. If you're keen to be first to hear about it, please hop to the link in the show notes. Just register your interest there. It's super, super easy. And I'll probably be getting in touch with people over the next week or two about it. So just jump on there, get your name on the list. And if you want to know about it, better to be on there than not be on there. And yeah, I'll be in touch with you over the next couple of weeks with more info. Really excited for this one. Okay, so on to this week's episode. You may know by now that this season is all about one of my greatest passions, business. And this week, I'm diving into a question I get asked a lot, how I have built and run a remote support team. In my first business, I built a, inverted commas, traditional team of full-time employees who attended the office with me every day. However, we had also support from an overseas VA from 2013, and I hired remote PAs in that business as well. And then in my current business, my team is fully remote. I've learned a huge amount about the do's and the don'ts of building a team like this, and have also supported dozens of mentees to build their own remote support team as well. In this episode, I share the 5 golden rules of building a support team, and believe me, these were hard earned. Why hiring for the person you need right now is not the way to go, and what the right way to go is. The most common mistakes I see business owners making with remote team members. The communication structure myself and my remote team work to. The mindset block you need to get over to have a truly effective remote team. The 4 different levels of remote support that you can have in your business, and what each level should deliver to you, what hourly rate you can expect to pay at each of these 4 levels, my top tips on finding a great support person, and why my goal in my business is simply to be Lorraine as much as possible. So I'm going to jump straight into this week's episode, and I really hope you enjoy it and get lots out of it. One of the most frequent questions that I get as a mentor, also through Instagram and also in the questions that I got asked as part of this business season on the podcast, is how do I build a support team? Particularly, how do I build a, inverted commas, non-traditional support team? So perhaps with a team who are remote or contractors or not necessarily your standard 9-to-5 employees that we historically would have built as we were building teams. So in this episode, I want to guide you through my experience of having an outsourced and remote team. And I also want to share with you the golden rules that I've developed over the years, and also the different layers of support that you can get in your business when it comes to building a team. So in terms of, I guess, my background with building a team, I started my first business, The Remarkables Group, in 2012. And with that business, I pretty much build your kind of traditional team. So I hired my first team member 5 months in. They were full-time permanent employee. I hired a second full-time permanent employee. And then I hired a full-time contractor. And then from there on, I had a mix of either contractors or full-time employees. So that was kind of my first experience of building a team. I will say though that quite early on, probably a year into that business, we had a VA in the Philippines who was helping us with social media reporting. So that's something we did for a number of years. So that was kind of my very, very first toe in the water way back in 2013 into working with outsourced overseas teams. And then while I had the Remarkables Group business, I also had PAs over the years. So they would be people who would support me for normally like 10 to 15 hours a week. And I'll talk through the difference between VA, PA, EA, and so on shortly in this episode. So they would support me for 10 to 15 hours a week. And they would work across various different elements of my business and also me personally. And then when I sold the Remarkables Group at the end of 2017, I had no support for about 6 months in the business, mainly because I was away in Bali for a couple of months and also because I was starting the second business, which is the business that I'm now running, which is basically Lorraine Murphy Inc. And I felt that I just wanted to touch everything in the business again, just to kind of get my head around it, to figure out what this business was going to be. I didn't know what the revenue model necessarily was going to be as I was kind of selling my first business. So I didn't actually have any support in that business for 6 months. And then I hired a business manager and she worked with me. So that was Michelle Broadbent, who's featured on the podcast a few times. So Michelle was with me in the business for 2 years and we work together in a different way now. She actually supports me with my mastermind and also provides kind of ad hoc strategic advice as and when I need it. And right now my team is AJ, who is my Make It Happen manager. AJ's been with me for over a year now. And then I've also got Danelle, who's my Make It Happen coordinator. So that's the core team is the three of us kind of day to day in the business. And then we pull in Michelle when we need her. And we also have a team of like, we've got a videographer, photographer, graphic designer, social media ads person, web designer, podcast producer. So beyond that kind of core of the three of us, there's, I think I worked out the other day, there's like 8 other people in the business that we draw in as and when we need them. So that's a very, very quick snapshot of my business support right now, just to give an idea of what I have. And what I thought was really important to do as part of this episode is to step you through there's 5 golden rules. So when I actually sat down to prepare this episode, I was like, okay, I really want to share with my listeners what the kind of the golden rules, what are the rules of thumb that I use when I'm building a remote team and what are the golden rules that I share with my mentees then when I'm helping them to support or to build a support team. So I've got 5 golden rules that I want to set the scene with. And these have been, these are the result of a lot of hard-earned knowledge and experience going through all of these individual golden rules. So the first golden rule that I want to share with you is hire for the person you need in 6 months, not right now. And the reason I say that is for most people that I will mentor or for myself, it can take at least a month. It generally takes at least a month to hire someone. So straight away, you've got 1 month down just to get them in the door. Then you've got probably 3 months of just settling them into the job. And then really it's about 6 months by the time they're fully up and running. Everyone's settled in. They know where they stand. You're kind of starting to build that really nice dynamic and that rapport together as a team. So when we hire for the person we need right now, what happens is we get that person on board. And then by the time 6 months rolls around, by the time we've actually hired them and by the time we've settled them in fully, we're already almost like we've outgrown them. It's like businesses who move into an office space and within 6 months they've outgrown that office space. So I always try and take a leaf out of my own book with this one I always try and hire for someone, the person that I need in 6 months time. And a perfect example of that was with Michelle Broadbent. So when I was in Bali, she reached out to me. I was in Bali with Lexi for 2 months between February and April 2018. And Michelle reached out to me quite early on in that trip around February time. And I said, look, I'm not looking for anyone right now. Said exactly what I just said to you in this podcast. I'm just trying to feel everything in the business. And I honestly don't know what the business model is going to be yet. I'm working that out at the moment. But I said to her, just let me know what is your rate? Because she sounded amazing. And she told me her rate and it was a lot higher than I had paid anyone else up until that point, whether it was a VA or a PA for support in my business. And then when I got back to Australia in April, we settled into our house on the Gold Coast and I took myself out for a day of planning. We had a nanny with Lexi. So I took myself out for a day of planning in the local cafe And I wrote the job description. Well, first of all, of course, I planned out my business model and what it was going to look like. And then I wrote out the job description for what I, who my kind of perfect unicorn would be in my business. And I tried really, really hard not to gear it around Michelle. But I sent her the job description. I sent her a text and said, hey, I'm sending this over to you. She had a look and said, yeah, it's perfect. I'd absolutely love to work with you. And I would love to, you know, I was really, really keen to work with her as well. However, her rate was a lot higher. And just remembering, I was pretty much starting a business from scratch. So it was a bit of a leap of faith for me to commit to paying her what she was asking for and obviously what she was 100% worth. But I knew that I needed to hire the person that I needed in 6 months rather than the person that I needed right now. Because right then, I probably needed a VA in the Philippines, but they wouldn't have helped me get my business started like Michelle ended up doing. So always hire for the person that you want in 6 months rather than the person you need right now. Golden rule number one. Golden rule number two is give them a clear brief. So I'm just going to take it as read that you've given them a job description, you've given them a list of their roles and responsibilities, what's expected of them, the hours that they're required to work, all that kind of thing. But also I call it like a handover document. So particularly if this person is going to be supporting you personally as well. So a handover document of all they need to know. So for example, when I was bringing Michelle into my business, I think I had like a 2 or 3 page Google document, which had my full name, my passport details, my frequent flyer number. I mean, I don't have any dietaries, but if I had dietaries, they'd be in there. I also have this thing where I like to sit when I'm flying domestically. I like to sit in seat number 8D. And the reason for that is, you know, pre-COVID, I traveled quite a bit. And it just means I just get on the plane and I sit in my seat and I don't have to think about where I'm sitting. It's just this weird thing that I have when I'm traveling. It's just one less thing to think about when I'm flying. So I would have on that, I had on that document, for example, to Michelle, I want to sit in seat 8D. I also had all of Wade's details, Lexi's details, both their passport numbers, just if Michelle was booking flights or doing anything like that, that we needed as a family, or even booking accommodation, sometimes you need passport numbers too. So give them all that shit up front. And that's a document then that Michelle passed on to AJ, that AJ has passed to Danelle. I know each of the team has added to it over the years, and it's a lot more comprehensive than it was back when I created it for Michelle. But give the person everything they're going to need from day one, because it just makes their life so much easier. And it makes your life easier because you're not having them ask you for random stuff. And generally, I find it's, can you tell me your passport number when you're just in the middle of, you know, a full-on day in meetings and you're pretty hectic and the last thing you want to do is kind of go and dig out your passport. So give them all of that stuff up front. Be really, really, really clear with them. Set them up for success as much as possible with the amount of information that you can give them. Another really great thing to include in that handover document is what days you work. And so when you want to, so for me, for example, I try not to have meetings on a Monday or Friday. Ideally, I want to do most of my mentoring on Tuesdays and Thursdays. On Wednesday afternoon, I'm with Lexi from 12 o'clock once she's finished school. Friday afternoon, I tend to take a couple of hours towards the end of the day just to do any personal appointments and fill my tank before the weekend kicks in with family. So anything like that, it's really, really, really helpful for them to know that. Also any holidays that you've got planned, all that kind of thing. Also have them an email for your business straight away. It's not expensive to get someone an email for your business, and it just looks so much more professional than them contacting someone from a random email address. And give them access to your calendar. So all of my team has full access to my calendar. They know exactly what I'm doing day to day. And again, that just makes their life so much easier when they're trying to schedule meetings, schedule appointments. And yeah, it just means, I mean, scheduling is the number one thing that I need help with in my business, and I did in my previous business as well. So just having someone to be in the early days, it was just someone to CC and say, hey, if I'm on a, having a conversation with a client and they're saying, yeah, we'd love to meet you. And then it's just to say, okay, great. I've CC'd my assistant, Sachi, in, who was one of my first, I think she was my very first PA actually. I've CC'd Sachi in, and she'll arrange this for you. So just things like that, it just makes life so much easier. But in order for someone to do that job effectively, they need to have access to all the information from you first and foremost. The third golden rule to remember when building a remote support team is that support is scalable. I think a lot of people think, oh, I need to get to the point where I can pay someone for 4 days a week, you know, 4 8-hour days a week permanently, and then I'll be in a position to get some support in. And it just couldn't be further than the truth. You don't need to wait until you have all of that kind of budget locked away, or that money locked away in order to actually get that kind of support. You can actually start with having someone in, so a VA supporting you for 5 hours a week, and that's it. You don't have to have 4 or 5 days of work, and you don't have to have consistent work lined up either. So you can have a rough estimate of, and I will generally, if I'm hiring a support member into my team, is to say it'll be 5 to 10 hours, or 10 to 15 hours, or 15 to 20, just to give myself a little bit of wiggle room, so that if it is the upper end or the lower end, that it's not the end of the world, and that person knows what to expect. So the key thing is just communication. So if you are going to hire someone on, even if it's 3 hours a week, but you have a goal that in 6 months' time you want them to be doing 10 hours a week, well, then just communicate that at the outset. And very, very important, ask them when you're interviewing them, are you in a position to take on more hours if and when I need you to do that? That's a really, really key one for me, because I would much rather have one person doing 20 hours a week than having two people doing 10 hours a week, because it just makes the communication a lot less complex in my business. So that's something I will always check for. Because, yeah, for me, that kind of upper limit is important, that I can actually up that either on an ongoing basis, or, for example, like with my Get Remarkably Organized launch, as I'm recording this, we've just closed doors to my LM Love Club last night. That was a really, really cool and really, really fun launch. Which I really, really loved it. So, you know, I know that Danielle has done a lot more hours over the last week. So it's just knowing that I can have someone more when I need them. Obviously, they know that that's happening, and there's lots of communication and agreement on that. So just remember that this support is scalable. You can actually just get someone for 2 hours, 3 hours, 5 hours a week if you want to start there. I think a really, really good example is from one of my amazing mentees, Jackie, who's actually in my mastermind group. And when we had our 3 hour intensive session together at the very start of the 6 month mastermind together, we identified that there was a real opportunity for her to get some kind of admin support into her business, someone who would support her in her business and also personally as well. She went out and found an absolute rock star. He's doing 10 hours a week in her business, which is essentially buying her back 40 hours a month now in her business, which is giving her so much more space and time to create a new concept that she's working on. So just remember, for every hour you buy, every hour that you have an effective, important to underline, effective support person in your business, you're actually buying yourself back not just an hour, but an hour plus, because someone who it just lights them up to set up MailChimp templates, they're going to get that work done in half the time, if not a third of the time, that you're going to get it done. So just remember, if you've got someone who's really, really good at that, you're actually buying back even more of an hour of your time, because if you spend an hour sitting in MailChimp, pulling out your hair, watching YouTube tutorials, trying to figure it out, can't figure out why the box won't move over this way, you could probably spend 4 hours on that, whereas they're going to spend an hour on it. So think about it. You're actually saving 4 hours of time, not just 1 hour. So remember, support is scalable. Just start somewhere. Start small, and you can always get bigger over time as and when you're ready. Fourth golden rule is regular communication. So I think a big mistake that people make when it comes to having a remote team is kind of this belief of, oh, well, because they're not sitting here in the office with me, I don't have to treat them like proper employees. I don't have to say thank you. And I'm not saying this is super common, but it is a mistake that I see people making. I don't have to say thank you. I don't have to give them clear guidance. Kind of expecting the person to be like a robot. Like, just press the green button, get them to do the work, and then press the red button and they'll stop. So I think it's really important to remember that we do need to treat this remote team just like we would a regular employee. They need encouragement, they need clarity, they need structure. So I know for me and my current setup with my team, as I'm recording this, actually, I'm going to be having my whip with the team in an hour and a half. An hour and a half at 2 o'clock. So every Tuesday at 2, we have a 1 hour whip. So for any non-Australians, WIP is a work in progress, which is like your weekly progress or status meeting. And in that, Danielle drives that meeting and she goes through all the different things that are happening in the business at the time. And we talk through them, myself, AJ and Michelle, as a team. Little hack, I actually do that as a walk and talk. So we do it on the phone. So I walk for that hour. And actually, it's only 45 minutes to an hour. And then what Danielle does then at the end of that call is she emails me a list of all my actions. And then I use that almost like as my shopping list to get things done. Just means I get like 6,000 steps done and I get to have a chat with the team and get some fresh air rather than sitting on my ass at my desk for that hour. So please remember, you want to treat them as employees. And, you know, they're real living, breathing people. who have needs, and it's important that we look after them and support them, because again, the more we can set them up for success, the more they can help us to succeed as well. So with my team, I mentioned we've got a team WIP. We also have a team WhatsApp group, which is quite active, particularly over weeks like last week when the Love Club doors, my LM Love Club doors were open. And also, and I think this has been a learning for me, Danelle was with me for, I interviewed her over Zoom and checked references and then offered her the role, and she started with me in the business. And then we pretty much went headfirst into my Get Remarkably Organized program launch, which was very, very full on. It was a very busy time in the business. And she was with me for 7 weeks. And then I realized, like, shit, I haven't actually seen her in person. And it was actually AJ who said to me one day, I think you need to, you know, make a bit of an effort with Danelle. And I was like, oh my God, I'm actually not listening to my own advice here. So I took Danelle out for breakfast. We had a really, really lovely breakfast, and I just felt so much more connected to her. And I think she, I haven't actually asked her, but I get the sense she's just feels a lot more invested in my business as well. So very simple thing, take her out for breakfast, spend some time with her. I really enjoyed it. She seemed to, I think, enjoy it. And it just, yeah, I really see that as an investment in our working relationship and improved communication, productivity, all of the great things. So golden rule number four, really treat them as you would a regular team member and communicate with them as such. The fifth golden rule, this is a really key one. It actually only popped up for me recently, was on when I was on my retreat with my mastermind group. And a couple of them have really struggled to find the right support person. They've been burned in the past, or they've kind of settled for someone who just isn't supporting them as well as they could and should. And what I said to them, they were talking about like all the different ways that we were workshopping practical ways. It was actually in one of Michelle's sessions around how they could find this person, how they could structure the role. And I actually said, look, team, can I just say something before we get into the logistics around how, you know, A, B, C, D, this is how you're going to get this person. This really does start and end with you believing that you're worthy of great support in your business. And it's a really sad thing, but I do see a lot of business owners settling and making do with the support that they have just because it's just easier than going and finding someone new. And it's really quite sad because, I mean, Jesus, for a few different reasons. I think one, if you're not happy with someone in your team, it's an incredible energy drain. I mean, I've been there. If there's someone that's not working out in the team, it just consumes all your energy, all your focus, just your life force. And I've seen this year, I've actually seen that with probably 4 or 5 of my mentees this year, I've seen this happen. And what happens is when they finally deal with that employee or the team member and they move them on to their next role, the amount of success that they experience in the immediate aftermath of that is just phenomenal, because they've got so much energy back that they can actually go and start to build the business that they want to build rather than angsting over a team member who's not working out. So with this one, and if you are embarking on building a support team, or you're kind of just you're doing it, but you're just not getting the team that you want to get, I think there's some work potentially to do around you acknowledging your own worthiness, that you are worthy of having this team, and deciding for yourself that you are worthy of having this team, and you're going to get the team members or multiple team members that are going to support you to have the business that you want to have. Because I really do believe, I remember seeing this billboard. It was awesome. I landed in Melbourne quite a few years ago, and one of the banks in Melbourne had a massive billboard just as I was on the Skybus coming out of Melbourne Airport. And it was a huge billboard on the side of the highway and freeway, whatever you call it. And it said, behind every success story is a support story. And I really onboarded that because I mean, even now, I have so many people saying to me, how do you do everything? I mean, you're doing a book, you're launching a program, you're doing your audiobook, you're podcast, and you've got Lexi, and like, how do you do it all? And I just say to them, like, I don't do it all. And I think it was one of my Love Club members. I think it might have been Sarah in my Love Club. And Sarah said to her, I'm just realizing, like, Lorraine doesn't actually do everything in her business. And AJ's like, no, she doesn't. So really remembering that the more support you have and the more set up for success you are, the more likely it is that you're going to be able to go and build a business that you dream of. And settling for second-rate support, and no offense to those people at all, that their support, they're just not in the right role. It's just, they're just the wrong people on the wrong bus. Or even sometimes they're on the right bus, i.e. in your business, but they're not sitting in the right seat in your business. So I think it's really important to deal with that. If you feel like your support is substandard right now, is to deal with that, whether that's you improving how you're managing that situation, or moving that person on and finding someone else, and also accepting that you are worthy and working on that. I really don't see it as any different to finding a romantic relationship. I mean, how many friends do we have, and how many times have we personally burned, you know, fucked up relationships because, and I mean romantic relationships, because we've got our own crap going on and our own self-sabotage going on, when actually the person's perfectly wonderful. So I think just working on your worthiness, accepting that you are ready and you are, I want to say that you've earned, but that's not the right word. Just that you're worthy and that you, it's okay for you to have the support. You don't have to do everything in your business. I think that is really, really, really key. Okay, really quick recap. 5 golden rules to building a remote team. First of all, hire for the person you need in 6 months, not now. Second, give them a clear brief. Give them everything that they need in order to set themselves up to fly in this role. Number 3, remember that support is scalable. Number 4 is to communicate and manage the structure just like you would with a regular employee. And 5, remember that you are worthy of great support, and please don't settle until you've got that great support. It is possible. I have seen dozens of mentees find amazing support. I've got incredible support right now in my business, and I have done for a number of years. So believe that you're worthy of it, please, and thank you. Okay, there are the golden rules. Now, the next thing I wanted to step through in this episode is the different levels of support that you can have in your business. This isn't a structure that I've learned. This is something that I've created myself. And it's a way of when a mentee says, I want to build some support into their business, it's my way of kind of guiding them as to what the right level might be for them. And I have had, support I have had all 4 of these at one point or another in my business. Okay, so the level of support, so this is the kind of base level of support, okay, is going to be your VA, so your virtual assistant. I think it's important to remember that you can have VAs in Australia or the UK or Ireland or whatever it is you're listening from, or you can have them overseas, so the Philippines, India, Mexico, various different places that you can find overseas VAs. Obviously, there's going to be a difference between what you would pay an Australian or local VA versus an overseas VA. So I believe, and again, team, this is my experience, okay? There may be competing or conflicting perspectives on this. This is based on my experience and all of my mentees' experience and friends' experience. This is my take on these different levels. So I believe that VAs are ideal for tasks that are repetitive and don't require local knowledge. So what I mean by that is, just given the, particularly if you're working with an overseas VA, you've got additional challenges potentially around language, around communication, around structure. And I think that would be hard to do if you had something new that needed to be done in your business every single week. So I think something that you can teach someone how to do, they can nail it, and then you can ask them to do that several times. I think that's going to be the best use of your energy and their energy in that case. And then the local knowledge one, I mean, that's just really, I mean, there's just stuff that you're, and I'm just going to talk about Australia just for ease, but I know I have listeners everywhere. So thank you for listening if you're not in Australia. But if I'm, you know, an Aussie, it's just things like knowing what side of the border is Queensland, what side of the border is New South Wales. It's just really, really simple things like that. I think it just makes life easier if you've got a local working on that kind of thing. The other challenge, I think, sometimes with VAs, and I'm not saying every VA, because the scope of and the skill set is just vast with this, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in a second, is anything customer facing. So I know for me, my business, it's very low touch in some ways, like my online programs, relatively speaking, are quite low touch. But even so, you'll have someone who hasn't received the email that week for whatever reason, or you'll have someone who missed the cutoff date. I mean, I've got an email in my inbox right now from someone who missed the cutoff date to sign up for Love Club last night and wants to get in today. So there's going to be those kind of things happening in a low touch, even on the kind of so-called low touch sides of my business. But on the high touch side of my business, my mastermind, for example, is 8 very, very established, very, very successful female business owners. And we just need to be as efficient as possible with them. And, you know, with everyone, of course. However, when someone's really paying a premium to be in my part of my business, they need the gold star treatment. So for me, just with the VAs that I've experienced to date, I wouldn't have them customer facing or client facing in my business. And that's a personal choice for me. For someone else's business, it might be great. And of course, it's going to be very, very dependent on the individual VA as well. So as I mentioned, the scope and the skill set is incredibly broad for VAs. My friend Pete has a very, very, very successful IT business, and he has pretty much, he moved all of his team from, as in he gradually transitioned all of the responsibility for his business from an Australian team to a Filipino team. And his business is solely run, obviously with him heading it up, but by Filipinos now. And he is doing incredibly well with that. He's got an incredible team. I will say for Pete as well, he spends a lot of time over, well, until COVID, spent a lot of time over in the Philippines. He runs retreats with his team. He really invests very, very heavily in communication with them. And I think that's why he's been able to do what he's done. So the scope and the skill set is very, very broad. And as such, what you would expect to pay is going to be quite broad as well. So I would recommend, if you're looking at a VA in your business, you're looking at paying them from between $10 an hour, which is going to be obviously an overseas VA, through to probably $30 an hour for an Australian or a local VA. And yeah, I'm just putting this in Australian dollars just for ease. So how I normally see people use a VA is for setting up emails and sending emails, so EDMs, doing research, reporting, design. For me and my business, we've got an incredible VA called Jackie, and Jackie does research in my business, and she is also an absolute whiz on Canva. So we've got a brilliant graphic designer, Stacey, who does, like, for example, if you'd see any of the artwork for my programs, any of my Instagram artwork, that's all Stacey. However, Jackie does all of the playbooks and the templates, the kind of less super intensive graphic design work. It's much more cost effective for me to use Jackie than to use Stacey for that kind of more, I don't want to say functional, but yeah, just that less intense, heavy design work we will have Jackie do, and she's brilliant. So she's just, I'm just waiting for her to send me the second version of my playbook for my event this Saturday. And she's awesome. So that's the kind of stuff that we will ask Jackie to do. In terms of finding a VA, there are a number of different agencies that you can use. So I know of one, Christy Smith has a business called Virtual Elves. And in that, she will actually go and recruit a VA for you for your business. And she then, so she essentially is responsible for the sourcing, the managing, the onboarding, all that kind of thing. And there's also many, many platforms. I mean, one example is Upwork, which used to be Odesk, which I've used a number of times over the years. And on Upwork, it's not just VAs. You can get design, editing, anything you need done on there as well. So that's the VA level. The next level up from that, so next tier up, is going to be a PA, so a personal assistant. So the biggest distinction I would draw between a PA and a VA is a PA is likely to be near you. And the reason for that is that they're available for physical tasks. So for example, to go to the post office, to pick up dry cleaning, to do kind of grocery shopping, whatever it might be. And that's the biggest differentiator I have between a VA and a PA. And of course, they're probably going to be more experienced too. So an example for me, so I hired Sashiko in my business, Sachi. I think I was in business about 2 years, and I hired Sachi for, I think she did about 10 hours a week with me. She did my scheduling. So again, just having that person to CC and say, hey, yeah, love to meet you. I've CC'd Sachi. She's going to set this up for you. And also she would help me quite a bit with personal tasks. So I was in full outsourcing mode when I hired Sachi. So she and I, at the time, our grocery shopping was kind of complicated. So she used to go and do the grocery shopping. So on a Friday, I would come home and our groceries would be bought, packed away in the fridge. It was just amazing. So Sachi really did straddle business support and also personal support as well. A PA will probably also do things like they might check your emails for you. They might book cinema tickets. It's pretty much just anything that you can hand over to them that you can hand over to them. And with a PA, I would expect to pay $25 to $40 an hour for a PA. And I've actually kept these brackets quite broad because the lines can be quite blurred between each tier of support. So that's a PA. The third level then is an EA, so an executive assistant. So I would see an EA as being quite a bit more senior than a PA. They're not going to be doing your personal tasks for you. So they're not going to be doing dry cleaning, booking cinema tickets, grocery shopping, that kind of thing. And they're probably going to be focusing mostly, if not, yeah, they would be focusing solely on your business. And I would really see an EA as having more of a strategic contribution to your business, and also in a way stepping into your shoes as and when they need to. So for example, responding to emails for you, working on presentations, and even potentially managing a PA or VA. So they would actually be the person who would manage other members of the support team. So I haven't actually ever had anyone in my business called in the EA. However, Michelle definitely acted as an EA at times. And I would actually, I think until quite recently, when we hired Danelle, AJ became my Make It Happen manager, I would have put AJ as an EA. So there's certain emails. I see all my emails, but sometimes if my email is just out of control, AJ can reply as me. She can also draft some copy as me, which I will always approve. So it's just being that an EA I see as being someone who can step into your shoes and just take on a bit of the heavy lifting in your business if you're not available or you don't want to do it for whatever reason. So with an EA, I would pay them between $40 to $60 an hour. Again, this is all Aussie dollars for ease. And is there anything else I want to say on that one? No, that's an EA. So the fourth tier and final tier, as I see it, is a business manager. So this is the most senior person that I've had in my business. You would expect a business manager to have a lot of input into strategic direction, like really meeting you as a kind of an equal when it comes to managing the strategy in your business. Also having involvement in sales, managing key stakeholders in your business, probably having oversight on the financials and cash flow, and also being the person who's really going to push forward with streamlining systems and processes. So I hired Michelle as a business manager she started 1st of June 2018. However, I really think she only got to act as a business manager for the second year. So she was with me as a business manager for 2 years, but I think she only got to act as a business manager for the second year, which is when we also had AJ, because AJ was picking up, I guess, more of the less strategic work. So Michelle kind of had to, I mean, really at points, she had to be a VA, she had to be a PA, an EA, and a business manager, kind of all rolled into one for a good year in my business. And she was incredible at that. So Michelle, as I said, yeah, she's going to have, she helps with strategic direction, sales. She's also going to tell it to you like it is. I mean, to be very, very honest, I'm very open to getting feedback and direction from my team. Danelle, AJ, Michelle, all give me a lot of feedback. And how can I describe this? Also manage me. Now, I'm very good at putting my hand up for too many things, overcommitting, getting, you know, setting myself up to a point that I might burn out and get exhausted. So Michelle and AJ particularly, because we've worked together for so long now, they kind of have a lens of, yeah, this is all great for the business, but is it good for you? Michelle particularly is really, really good at that. And AJ has been a big support like that for me over the last kind of six months or so. So they're the people who can manage you as well, particularly if you're looking at that EA business manager level. They're someone who should be managing you as well. Managing up, I think you call it. So, and sorry, business manager, then I'd expect to pay $50 plus an hour. So that's the four different levels of support that you can get in your business when it comes to building a remote team. The beauty of the economy that we're working in is we have so much opportunity. We could have a VA for 2 hours a week, a PA for 2 hours a week, and a business manager for 1 hour per week, for example, if we want to. And as I said, the more people you have, it just immediately increases the complexity of your business. So just acknowledging that that is going to add complexity to your business. So I think it's such an exciting time to be an entrepreneur, to be having a passion project, because you can get all this different support and it doesn't need to break the bank, and you can pretty much build a handpicked team just for you, which is just amazing. Okay, now the last thing I wanted to touch on is where to find these people, because I've already touched with VAs. You're ideally would look at an agency or going through a platform such as Upwork. And there's multiple other freelance platforms. I think there's one called Freelancer as well. There's multiple different platforms there. So if we're talking more about a PA, EA, business manager, my always, always, always the number one place that I will try find a hire is through my network. It is always the best route for a couple of reasons. One, you're more likely to get someone who's got similar values to you. If they're a mom at school, or they're your sister's friend, or they're one of your Instagram followers, or they're an ex-colleague, you're just likely to have some more shared values than someone who's just a complete blow-in from the street. And the second reason, I think both parties are a lot more invested. So if you know that you're hiring your neighbor's son from down the road, there's kind of another relationship there that you both want to maintain. So I find that that helps as well. People tend to be, you know, me and the hire tend to be more in the best behavior when we know that there's kind of a broader network or a mutual connection in play as well. So always first port of call is your network. Put it on your personal Facebook, put it on your Instagram, put it on your business channels. Put word out on the school network, in local community Facebook groups, in local business Facebook groups. Just get it out there. And I always say to my mentees as well, like, the optics on you hiring are very good. You know, when people see that, oh, you know, even if it's someone who you're looking for someone for 5 hours a week, it shows that you're going places. And I don't think that hurts for our PR profile as well. So number one protocol, always your network. Second is, of course, you can go to the job ad sites like Seek, Indeed, and so on. One of my mentees recently has had a lot of success. She's got 5 really, really strong EA leads from Indeed, which is awesome. And also, I've had in the past, and I haven't used Pedestrian recently, but pedestrian.tv, I've found some brilliant PAs from that in the past. And also on Gumtree, I found support there as well. So just, yeah, I think the key thing is to put it out as broadly as you can. And if you are putting it up on your ad up on a Seek or an Indeed, it's just to be really, really, really clear on who it is you're looking for, because, yeah, I've just been burned by that quite a few times, even though my job ads are very, very clear. You got hundreds and hundreds of applications, most of whom don't have permission to work in Australia, or they don't have the right employment background. It's, yeah, it can be kind of a needle in a haystack type situation if you're putting it out to the masses like that on one of those sites. Okay, so I've given you a very speedy download of pretty much everything I know and I would teach you if you were a mentee looking to build a remote team. I really, really hope that this has been useful. And I just want to wish you the best of luck with building your team. As I said, I could not do even a tenth of what I do in my business if I didn't have the team, and that I haven't been building that consistently over the years. And you don't need to do everything in your business. I really want you to onboard the fact that I do as little as possible in my business as I can. My whole mission, I've said this for a long time, in my business right now is just to show up and be Lorraine, to do my content like I'm doing this podcast, to do my mentoring, host my programs, and let an amazing team who are much, much, much better at it than me to run the whole show behind the scenes. So I'm wishing you lots of luck with finding your team. And also remember, you can start small and scale up. You don't need to be going all guns blazing straight away as you get started with this. So good luck with your team. And I'm excited to hear. Please do let me know if any of these tips come into play for you as you're building your team. And let me know how it's going for you. I always love to get feedback from listeners. It just makes my day to hear back. So thank you so much. So there you have it, this week's episode. I hope you got lots of nuggets from that and that you really feel skilled up and empowered to go and build a remote team of your dreams from this point on. So please remember, if you want to know about the business accelerator that I'm planning, please just hop to the link in the show notes and just pop your name on the list there. I'm going to be reaching out to people over the next week or two. So thank you so much, as always, for joining and listening in to the show. I'm absolutely loving this business season. I'm so glad I did it based on all the feedback that I'm getting from my listeners. And please do pass on anything that you're putting in place in your business. I just love to hear, yeah, how it's all going for you. So until next week, I shall say goodbye. Thank you for being part of this week's episode. It was remarkable to have you. I am always keen to hear your thoughts, questions, ideas, and suggestions for future topics for the podcast. So please get in touch on Instagram. My handle is @LorraineRemarks, and through my website, lorrainemurphy.com.au. If you're enjoying what I'm putting out here, please do rate, review, or subscribe to the podcast so more people can find out about it and we can build this special community. Or even better, do all 3. Chat to you next week.